Welcome to this week's episode of She Talks Tech podcast. My name is Vanessa Vallely and I'm the founder of We Are Tech Women. This week we are talking about male allyship and how it can accelerate the careers of women. We will be discussing why allyship is so important, what good looks like, and how we can all be allies to each other. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear about all things diversity and inclusion from Nick Ponsford and Kat Wildman, co-founders of the Global Equality Collective. The Global Equality Collective is a grassroots movement made up of over 15,000 changemakers and more than 350 subject matter experts. They are working to provide organisations with the data, information and education they need to improve their diversity. In this session, Nick and Kat explain some of the key issues facing organisations when it comes to D&I and how we can solve them.
Hi everyone, I'm Kat Wildman, co-founder of the Global Equality Collective.
And hi, I'm Nick Ponsford, co-founder of the Global Equality Collective. And we are super pleased to be here. And we want to talk to you about diversity in tech. Kat, do you want to give a short bio of yourself?
Yes, I would love to, Nick. Thank you for asking. Yes, thank you everyone for being here. It's really exciting. So I have been a woman in tech for ever. I went straight from science into technology and very rapidly found out that it's very similar sort of mindset. So where you would baseline an experiment in science, you do exactly the same thing in products and digital. So I found my home and I absolutely loved it. I've worked in creating digital products, battling in the attention economy for coming up for 20 years now. And that's all I've ever done. And I love it.
And I've done 20 years in education and tech. So I was a new media teacher. I worked educating students and staff, and I've done this at regional, national and international level. I've written a book called Techno Teaching, which Harvard published. And I do a lot of work around DfE programs, including the EdTech Demonstrator program. I'm now working with the Accessible Technology Pilot, which is for 80 mainstream schools. And Kat and I came together very shortly after I'd been doing quite a lot working at big events like BET and being asked about the minority groups in education. So either in terms of recruiting members of staff or actually what those future work pipelines look like for students. So I did a lot of work as a teacher linking with industry, as well as teaching BTECs, A-levels and that kind of thing as well. And so Kat and I have kind of joined in a way to kind of join the dots, I think, between what education and business are doing. We found quite a lot of similarities at a leadership level. But I think what might be nice to talk about is what we think maybe needs to happen now, Kat. What would you say on the business side?
Oh my goodness. So we built our platform, didn't we, to solve the four main problems that we found in our research. So I was working at an organization at the time the Gender Pay Gap Reporting Initiative was announced in 2017. Me and one other female with the two senior females in tech, and everyone sort of looked in our direction, me and Carol, and they were like, you were going to close this gender pay gap then. So I join the scene at that point, looking for what's the framework we're all going to use, what's the methodology, and join the scene in a massive way looking for that, and there wasn't anything. So then started researching because I thought I am going to make one because it's within my skill set to be able to do that, and went researching with loads of organizations, and the four main problems that they stated was that they didn't want to know that they needed to do something anymore, they wanted to know how. So everyone was at the table. These events were packed to the rafters with people going, what do I do? But there was no what do I do there. There was just look at your pipeline and, well, that's it really. It's like something must be done about the pipeline, which is where you and I got together because I started looking into education too. That was probably the main reason why we went about creating the framework, didn't we? Just because there's so many things that organizations can do within the business already to make it more inclusive. Because the thing is, what we're seeing with businesses is the very first thing that they'll tend to say to me when we very first engage is, we need to recruit for diversity. And that rings alarm bells for me for two reasons. One, what do you mean by diversity? Do you mean people who look different to the people who are already in your organization? And that to me, it screams superficiality. It screams, why are you doing it? And what have you said to the rest of your employees for your diversity initiative? Have you told them the why? Have you told them a really strong, compelling why? Is it so that we can better represent our customer set? Look at the demographics of our current customer set. Look at the demographics of our target customer set. We need to go here, therefore we need to represent them in the business so that we can create the products and services that will bring them joy and that will make them be loyal to us. Is it that? Is it the fact that you're representing the UK and that therefore your demographics need to reflect that of the UK? Is it so that you can be more competitive and you want to come up with better ideas? You want to innovate better, so therefore you need to bring in people who are different to the people who are coming up with the current ideas that you have? What is that? Why? Is it compelling enough? Is it, have you stood up in front of your whole organization and gone, this is why we're doing this? Oftentimes, that's not the case. And what is the case is they know they don't have enough people of color in the organization. They know they're very male heavy. And so they try and bring in people who are different to that just because they feel like they should. Because when you look around with your eyes, you can see the same sort of people. And that is just the wrong way to go into it. It's the wrong mindset for it. You need to be leading with that big, colorful why in light and getting everyone in the organization to go, oh yeah, we really, really need to do that. That's what's going to get them behind. But even more than that, when you're interviewing your diverse people that you've got coming into your pipeline, how are you going to articulate to them, you know, your why for diversity and inclusion? They're going to ask about it, especially if everyone in the organization doesn't look like them. Especially exactly. If they don't see themselves represented in the panel or looking around the office or on the website, they're going to say, what's your policy in D&I? Because we've spoken to so many people who are going, am I a D&I hire? And what do I do if I suspect that I am? You need to be able to articulate that why massively and say, look, we're bringing you in because you didn't go to university, because you're from a lower socioeconomic status and you can represent the needs of our customers, because you have a different heritage to us. And look at this great customer set that we've got that we want to be able to reach. We want to make products for them. And we think that you're the person who can help us do that. That is what is missing at the moment. So there's one big change that we could make happen. It's a big glittering Y in lights with fireworks coming out of it. What are you seeing in education?
Well, I'm just seeing colourful lights and fireworks now. I don't know how those things appeal to me. So in education, the issues I think that we had just when it came to gender, which actually go across, as you say, and that full Equality Act plus that, you know, socioeconomic status is underneath it all, is when you look at the statistics coming out of schools where girls are outperforming boys, for example, when they go into the jobs, they are not doing as well as their male peers. So there's cultural difference. It's not biological things. There's cultural attitudes and barriers against that. Another thing that the GEC Act tries to sort out for business and schools. Also seeing that mirrored now across different protected characteristics as well. And I think we are now in the age of diversity and we've got schools that want to include their students. But then when they leave their education, they want to make sure that those students are safe going into a workplace culture and that they will have equal rights when they go into those as well. So I think from my side on the education, it's making sure that if you're trying to recruit, you are showing the young people coming in that that's important. And I think I saw recently research showing that flexible working is like the number one thing that Gen Z are after when they come into. So what they're demanding of their employers is something different to what I think was being asked 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's it. They want flexible working, but they also want purpose, a sense of purpose. And so that is a really interesting point you made about being included, because that's the other thing I get right on top of my soapbox about, which is if you are hiring all this diverse talent, how do you know they are not just going to churn out? So we've spoken to a couple of organizations who've gone on this massive drive for diversity. They've brought in all this diverse talent at the bottom of the pipeline, not senior level, mid levels, exec levels. They're doing entry level, which, you know, there are other levels. It's a great start, but then that talent is churning out because they haven't done anything about the culture. So if you bring in diverse talent, there's two things here. One, are they going to be included when they get in there in terms of emotional and social support, in terms of pastoral care from their manager, in terms of representation from leadership, and in terms of being able to buy into the overall culture and vision and purpose of the organization? So the second thing is that if you are hiring for diversity, you're hiring for difference and you're hiring for not just external differences. And that is the key. That is the most important thing. If you're hiring for external differences, you're going to bring in a load of people who think and behave and come up with the same ideas exactly like everyone at the organization already does. That is not the reason for hiring for diversity, because what you will do is external differences, religious differences. If you're hiring for someone who wears a different religious dress to everybody else, if you're hiring for someone who is a wheelchair user and is visibly disabled, if you're hiring for someone with a different color skin, first of all, those reasons in the fair areas. You shouldn't be hiring so that people look different. You're hiring for what that difference brings, which is ideas, and thoughts and challenge.
That's and it, diversity of thoughts. And also kind of illuminating your blind spots as well, either as a workforce or to help your services and products as well.
And that's so the other reason why people are churning out of business, is that they come in with all of their ideas and they're like, I've been hired for me. I'm here, I'm being authentic, but I'm finding that I'm not valued for my authenticity, which is a really key question that we ask on our assessment. Are you valued for your authenticity? Because so many people are coming in and going, well, actually, can I just put forth a challenge for that? Or I've got a slightly different idea, or something about that doesn't quite feel right. And they're getting steamrolled over. And so all of this hiring for diversity is going to be completely wasted effort unless you are going to nurture those people that you bring in, who by very definition of it will think differently to everyone in the organization. And therefore you will have challenge. You need to make sure that your organization is ready for difficult conversations, challenge, feedback, call outs of all different types, call ins. You know, how have you prepared your foundations to be able to get that talent to flourish when it comes in? And that's the other thing that we are working really hard with our members on, putting in place, so that when they do hire for diversity, it's a great hire and that person feels like they want to stay and they feel like they belong and they're valued for who they are.
Absolutely, because we're in the age now, it's not just the age of diversity, but we're in the age of a global majority, which means we're in the age of global equality. What we try to do with our work with the Global Equality Collective as well, we are trying to make sure that the pathway from cradle through retirement, that all those dots are remembered and put in place as well. And also our businesses help support the work we do in education, because it isn't about the two sectors kind of working separately, it's about joining the dots a little bit more. So if you are interested, please pop along to either our socials at GC Collect or our website, thegc.org, and we've got our name, okay, and check out what we're doing and come and join us and be part of it.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody. It's been awesome to be here with you all. And yeah, please get in touch if you want any help with D&I whatsoever.
Thank you so much, Nick and Kat, for being my guests on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about the GC or Nick or Kat, you can connect with them on LinkedIn. Please do subscribe and rate our podcast and give it that all-important 5-star review. And keep listening every Wednesday for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.